And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. A little Uncle Ted there for you. Yeah, a little stranglehold. You know, we've had Ted Nugent on the show twice, I believe. Need to get him back on sometime soon. Uncle Ted is, Charlene listened to him the first time he's on the show and said, that man's a force of nature. And I said, yes. Yes, he is.
I imagine he has fun with Adventures in Woke World.
You know, I'm pretty sure that he could supply us with a round of ammunition for Adventures in Woke World. Hey, by the way, a couple of quick texts, and then I'll jump into the next dipper. John from Huntsville said, Phil, that texter who texted about transgender cars is currently in the lead. See, I knew.
Totally.
I knew
totally.
It.
Totally. That's good. Good call, John.
Yeah, absolutely. Was that Brad from Decatur that had that? I think it was. Or is it Gary from Decatur? Anyway, yeah, that was just epic good. And then Brad from Laredo, Tennessee. That's who it was. It was Brad from Laredo, Tennessee. Yeah, that's awesome. He just texted in again. He said, if I EV swap a 69 Camaro, does that mean I no longer can call it a muscle car? Because the name muscle car would assume a masculine identity. You know, women got muscles. There's women got muscles. So I don't know. But I want to know, does it identify as a Prius so it can park in the economy spots if you want to? I find that curious. And then David from Huntsville says, the cost of previously not doing enough and being strong has led to Israel's 9/11 and the verge of World War III. I would agree with that. All right, listen, we got to change the narrative. And Butters has made a point during the break. He said, it's a heck of a thing when Adventures in Woke World is what you use to soften the atmosphere. But every once in a while when I'm resourcing this show, when I am pulling together the vast quantities of materials upon which we rely as we espouse our opinions, I find myself in a wokeness over here, a wokeness there, and levels of wokeness. How much wokeness can – look at all the wokeness, and I realize I've got a plethora of wokeness, a buffet, if you will, a vast cornucopia of wokeness, which means it's time for Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
And the first story is about as woke as it gets. In fact, I'm going to have to read this to you, and somebody may have to explain what I just read. So, story here on the Daily Caller came out 2 days ago. Headline, you ready for this? God, you can't make this stuff up, man. Rice University offers Afrochemistry class to address inequities in chemistry. Butters is, I can see the eyes roll back in his head as he tries to decipher what I just said.
I'm trying to figure out
Afrochemistry.
Where's the race in chemistry?
What an excellent point you make, Butters. Rice University, a prestigious academic institution, is currently offering a course they call Afrochemistry that seeks to address what it calls inequities in chemistry and chemical education. Okay. According to an online course schedule and a catalog, this chemistry class has no final exam and goes from January 8th to April 19th. You ready for this? Here's what it reads in the syllabus. Brace yourselves. Quote, students will apply chemical tools and analysis to understand black life in the U.S., and students will implement African-American sensibilities to analyze chemistry. What does that mean?
I am trying to figure out.
Yes.
Like, is there something there?
The periodic table of the elements did not change, did it?
I mean,
did you and I are just good old cis white males? Does that mean that somehow or another chemistry is different for us?
I guess.
It gets better. A course description from the catalog also noted, quote, diverse historical and contemporary scientists, intellectuals, and chemical discoveries will inform personal reflections and proposals for addressing inequities in chemistry and chemical education. No prior knowledge of chemistry or African American studies is required for engagement in this course. I feel dumber for having read that.
I don't understand what chemicals are, what are they going to go do with that class?
They're going to, don't you understand? They're going to implement African American sensibilities to analyze chemistry and to address inequities in chemistry. I don't know.
That's crazy.
All I know is, you know what this is? This is blatant racism. This is an attempt to divide once again. This is an attempt by a major prestigious university to virtue signal to the extent that it's embarrassing. I mean, they're walking around with their fly unzipped. That's how bad this is.
I mean, it can't help minorities in the sciences. Like, no. Like legitimate guys that want to, like, that, yeah. That's not helping anybody.
And what are we doing with this class, by the way? Are they getting some kind of course credit for a major that we don't know about that exists for, and they're actually calling it Afrochemistry. That's the name of the class, Afrochemistry. Well, so do they have redhead chemistry? Do they have blonde female chemistry? Do they have dudes with mustache chemistry? What the heck?
Well, fortunately, I know we've got smart engineer listeners that have plenty of chemical experience. I'm seriously, is there something that we're missing?
That reminds me. I'm glad you said that. My college roommate, George from Huntsville, is a listener. Maybe he's listening right now. George, if you're listening, I need your input. He was a chemistry major, and he's like, you know, he's like a guru on chemistry stuff. So I was not. I was, believe it or not, my undergraduate was in sports medicine. I wanted to work with athletes and do that kind of stuff, and I'm not using that degree at all. But that being said, my buddy George, if you're listening, please call and tell me or text me or something and explain to me what Afrochemistry means to you as a chem guy.
So before you move on to the next one, I would like to point out, did you see Elon Musk tweet, whatever he put out on X, that cis is a heterophobic word? Shame on anyone who uses it.
Charlene, I say it. All right, you know I say it tongue in cheek, but Charlene gets on to me for saying it. Stop saying that. You're giving it credibility. I'm not giving it credibility, but your point is well taken. It is a made-up term. We're just dudes who care, and we happen to have white skin, and we don't care what color everybody else's skin is. Afrochemistry. Adventures in Woke World continues. Y'all stay tuned. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So I am in Adventures in Woke World right now. I will say this. I want to break and just say something that's on the TV right now here on one of the screens. They are looking at right now the Iowa caucuses be the coldest Iowa caucuses in history. It's going to be so cold in Iowa. Like, we're talking about single digits, sub-zeros in some places, snow on the ground, all of it. Get her done, people. It's important. Adventures in Woke World. In the wake of Afrochemistry, Rice University, not to be outdone, Western Illinois University just launched its efforts for a National Day of Racial Healing opportunity. And so what they're going to do is they're going to tell you white people to lay down your oppression-enabling armor. What does this mean? So we got all kinds of stuff. I mean, they're having a series of speeches. They're having one that covers xenophobia. Another one's called a diversity storytelling workshop. They got one on combating anti-Semitism. I get it. There's going to be one that's historical. Okay, I get it. And then they've got one called Racism for White People. Okay. It says, because racism is almost always perceived as threatening to white people, and because most of us put on our armor, so to speak, whenever such conversations involve whiteness, white privilege, white advantage, learning how to think about such matters and how to put down our armor is an essential first step towards building a beloved community. Here's an idea. If you want to build a beloved community, stop calling everything racial. Stop identifying. Stop segregating. Stop self-segregating. Stop creating division markers and intersectionalities and labeling people. How about the fact that the Democrats and the progressives are the most labeling people of all, but they're going to tell us to lay down our white armor? Enough of that. Moving on. What's wrong with, what is happening in higher education? They got higher, apparently, in higher education.
You got time for a whole other show?
Yeah, we're going to, yeah. Ben from Decatur did text in, by the way. He says, woke chemistry? Must be all get a star and don't touch that. A sure hire. Wink, wink. Yeah, it's everybody gets a diploma. It's all good. Lee from Huntsville says, can a white person or an Asian or an Indian student take the Afrochemistry course? How do they determine who takes the class? You just have to have an open mind, Lee. It's all about your openness to your own fragility and privilege. How about this one? I pulled this story off of TP USA. Butters, when you and I are in uniform, don't you remember things like, you know, what you do in your personal life can be okay, but you do not wear your uniform in certain capacities. Like you don't give political speeches in your uniform. You don't go out there and get radical in your uniform. You don't go to protest events or set the stage for commentary that could be seen as divisive while you're in uniform. Am I right?
Yeah.
You and I could get in trouble for that, right?
And I mean, even if you're running for political office, you got to be very careful.
Even after I retired, I still had pictures on my website showing me in uniform, and I had to have a disclaimer at the bottom saying this does not constitute an endorsement by the Department of Defense. So, unless you're trans.
Well, I'm not liking where this is going.
So, trans-identifying U.S. Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Bree Fram, a dude that believes he's a woman, who is the highest ranking out active duty transgender officer in the U.S. Department of Defense. That's, by the way, that's how he's identified. He, who wants to be a she, is identified. In uniform, giving speeches about the need for transgenderism to be recognized as an important piece of our national security imperative. Kid you not. Trans-identifying Space Force Lieutenant Colonel says that, quote, inclusion is a national security imperative. Our national security is now based on whether or not we're going to let dudes shower with chicks. That's where it is. That's according to Lieutenant Colonel Bree Fram, who in uniform, and I watched part of the video. I couldn't stomach it. But I watched the video of Bree Fram in uniform doing a TV or a podcast segment with an interviewer and talking about why it's so important that we recognize that inclusion of transgenders is part of our national security imperative. How you feel right now? You feeling good? You want to open the window? A little fresh air? You good? Butters, come back to me. You're all right. I'm waving air at you.
I may just go play golf in the wind and rain and cold. That seems like it'd be more fun right now.
Let's move on to the Second Amendment. How about that? Let's find something else to discuss.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be way better.
I know. They're tearing down the military, making sure that dudes are showering with chicks. And they're, you know, and I realize that chemistry is now racial and that you and I have white armor. But why don't we do this? Why don't we just say that buying bullets is now a privilege? I kid you not.
Okay.
I pulled this one from MyNorthwest.com. Washington Democrats opened up their 2024 legislative session, according to this story that came out 3 days ago, with another assault on gun rights. This time, they hope to reclassify ammunition as a privilege, one that should be subject to an onerous tax, because the thing they love more than taking guns away is taking your money. So two state representatives, one named Mylin Tan and another named Liz Berry, both Democrats, go figure, introduced House Bill 2238 in the state legislature in Washington. Under the auspices of public safety, claiming access to ammunition is the cause of violence and not their soft-on-crime policies that go easy on criminals, the bill would impose, you ready for this, an 11% sales and use tax on ammunition statewide. 11% sales tax.
you reading that out over the airwaves just made the cost of our ammunition in Alabama go up. Thanks a lot, Phil.
I'm just saying, this would be, by the way, an additional tax on top of any other sales taxes or any other tax that could be levied. And by the way, don't forget, the city of Seattle already imposes a per round tax. You buy your bullets outside the city of Seattle and drive them back in.
There's a bunch of dudes in Idaho that are like, cha-ching, everybody's driving over.
Is there any wonder why half the state of Washington and Oregon both want to secede and go to Idaho? They do. They actually do. They've had votes on it. The bill also reclassifies ammunition, claiming that you do not have a right to purchase them as a consumer. Instead, it's labeled a privilege. That's the wording used. The legislation creates a new section in pre-existing law that reads, a use tax is levied on every person in the state for the privilege of using ammunition as a consumer at the rate of 11% of the selling price. So you spend $20 on a box of 5.56. That $20 just added another $2 and what, 20 cents to it. Unstinking believable. By the way, $20, it's going to be more than that. The article does go on to say, in an ironic twist, Democrats are actually the best gun salesmen because every time they do something, it pushes people to go buy more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here going, well, okay. I'm trying to calculate how long the drive is out to Washington State, and if I fill the back end of my truck up.
Hey, buddy, you want to buy a bullet? Hey, buddy. I got some in the alley down here. Come here.
I got them cheap.
I got them cheap, buddy.
$12 a piece.
That's right. And that's a deal, by the way.
For a 9mm.
Come on. Let me go ahead now and bring some intersectionality to the first dipper with the second dipper.
Okay.
Parting the Red Sea was the first dipper about the Houthis in Yemen, right? And now we're in Adventures in Woke World. How about an article from the Daily Caller dated 2 days ago? Biden State Department shells out thousands to empower women in Yemen with tech as their rebels are also launching rockets from the country.
Are you sure that's not from the Babylon Bee?
No, it's not. It's from the Daily Caller. The Biden administration is shelling out thousands of dollars to empower women in Yemen by teaching them how to use technology as rebels are occupying the country, firing rockets at commercial cargo ships and U.S. military vessels. The grant of $22,000, by the way, it's a drop in the bucket. I get it in the big picture. But the State Department is just slinging money out there. You know why? Because they've got it. They've got more money than they know what to do with. The grant worth $22,520 issued by the State Department seeks to, quote, empower Yemeni females with technology skills to improve their chances of employment. I get it. But you know what? Seems to me, if the country is radical, they're shooting at your troops. You're having to bomb their installations. Maybe that's where we stop giving out grants. Just saying.
Yeah, I'm trying to think through what's the tactic, you know, the State Department tactic, and how do you, you know, influence the government over there and the politics, and that just seems like a really bad idea. It seems like let's give some money to these guys so they can buy some more drones.
Yeah. 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 I will say there's a couple of victories in here. And I'm glad of it. The first one I pulled off Fox News came out 2 days ago. The Biden administration was about to redo a park. It's actually run by the National Park Service, but it's like a small park, like a city park. It's called the Welcome Park. I think it's called Welcome Park in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia. They were going to take down the statue of William Penn. They were going to take it down. Why is it called Welcome Park? It's named after the ship, the Welcome, that William Penn sailed over here. He's the founder of Pennsylvania. He also, by the way, was the extremely instrumental in the early days of what became the United States. So the Biden administration announced their plans, and part of it involved taking down the statue of William Penn. Why would they do this? Well, you know, Native American rights and things and sensibilities and virtue signaling and stuff, right? Wokeness. But the plan was announced Friday, and it drew a torrent, the article says, of criticism, receiving more than 2,600 comments on a social media post allowing for public comment. And the Biden administration withdrew the plan, and the statue will remain. Woo, got a victory. Can I have some applause on that one right there? You might even have jackassery followed by applause. What do you think? I think that's the way it's going to go. There it was, jackassery followed by the applause. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll be in the area all day. But here's my other victory before we go to the break. Y'all need to know we're winning, by the way. Let me just say this. Wokeness is wearing out its welcome. If there's any heartstring to be pulled in this section that I'm doing called Adventures in Woke World, take note of this. Wokeness is wearing out its welcome. Why? Because we can see them, and we can confront them, and we call it out now. And they're not just getting away with making people kneel down in the streets like they did in 2020. The Biden administration has empowered a lot of this with their own actions. But I will say this, we're starting to see things turning. Like, for instance, did you know that Republican Governor Mike DeWine of Ohio actually vetoed a bill that would have limited the ability to do gender procedures on children? He vetoed it. In other words, he was going to stick with the idea that it's okay to do it, to mutilate children and to basically sterilize them for life with procedures and with medicines. Well, you'll be happy to know that he's getting handed back to him because the legislature convened, and yesterday, the Ohio State House, now it's going to the Senate still, but the Ohio State House voted on Wednesday to override Governor Mike DeWine's veto. In other words, by a vote of 65 to 28, the Ohio Republicans sent it up to the Senate saying, join us in overriding his veto and getting this thing put into law. That's an amazing opportunity right there to smack it around and have a victory in woke world. I like it. I ran long. Take me to a break, Butters. We'll do that right now, and I'll come back with the last couple of woke worlds I got. And then coming up top of the hour, I'm hearing Hannah Stevens is going to call in. Talk about something about a new coach for Alabama. Did I say that? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. The hour, we're going to switch gear and start diving into some home fries to include a call from Hannah Stevens, the sign girl. From University of Alabama. She's going to talk about some breaking news that's out like right now about coaching. And by the way, coaching at Auburn is also getting unique and different. We'll talk about that too, along with other stories in the home fries category. Brand spanking new in the text line, Jeff from Athens. Being an aerospace engineer, I don't recall my two chemistry classes pointing out anything discernible such that a class in afrochemistry is worthy of consideration. I'll stop reading there, but I appreciate it very much. Jeff, welcome to the text line. We're glad to have you. What else we got? Let's see. I'll tell you what. Let me just jump into my last story before I run out of time. Last story, which, by the way, is weird, is different, is maddening. It's woke world. It also has victory at the end of it for conservative positions, I understand. So you know about DEI departments, right? Diversity, equity, inclusion. All that stuff, so good, it's making everybody feel better. We're all about making sure that we have equity. What does that mean? Equity just means you get some of my stuff or I get some of your stuff because we got to have the same amount of stuff. How about equality, where we both have equal opportunity to pursue stuff? No, we can't have that. We got to have diversity, equity, and inclusion, which means we got to set up opportunities to basically advise you that everything's racist. Well, DEI departments, according to a piece on Twitchy, DEI departments are poisonous. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis stripped funding for DEI at his state universities, sending a lot of useless people packing. Universities are notorious for going all in on DEI. To include Johns Hopkins. Oh, my. So Johns Hopkins University, the much vaunted Johns Hopkins. They have a chief diversity officer who thought it'd be a great idea to send out, in conjunction with the word of the month opportunity, send out the diversity word of the month and included the list of all the people who, just by virtue of being born a certain way or acting a certain way, are automatically known to have privilege. Privilege. Privilege that gives you a step up in society. So yeah, Johns Hopkins sent out this hit list of people automatically guilty of privilege, whether they know it or not. And I'm looking at a picture of the chief diversity officer. Okay. Anyway, chief diversity word of the month. Privilege is defined, her email says, as a set of unearned benefits given to people who are in specific special groups. Privilege operates on a personal, interpersonal, cultural, and institutional level. It provides advantages and favors to members of dominant groups at the expense of members of other groups in the United States. Apparently, it's only in the United States. Privilege is granted to people who have membership in one or more of the following social identity groups. You ready? Brace yourself, Butters. White people, able-bodied people, heterosexuals, cisgender people, which I thought was also heterosexual, but who's counting? Males, Christians, middle or owning class people, owning. So middle or owning class. There's another class. I didn't know there was an owning class. Middle-aged people or English-speaking people. My God, I've got so much privilege, I don't know what to do. I had no idea that when I used a GI Bill to go to law school that I was privileged.
I'm screwed.
You and I are just hosed, man. I mean, here I am. I'm white, able-bodied, heterosexual, cisgender, male. I'm Christian. I'm a middle or owning class middle-aged dude, and I always supposed to speak English. I've got all the privilege in the world. By the way, libs of TikTok found out about this, publicized it. The backlash became pretty quick. I am told that post was just revoked or pulled down yesterday afternoon. So there's that. You got to stand up, folks. Take the victories where you get them. You got to push back. This woke world stuff, my gosh. By the way, I don't recall any privilege in my life. I just recall a lot of hard work. There it is. Afrochemistry. What the heck? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're switching gears, moving to home fries. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.